we're going to dismiss the children now. If you meet the criteria there, feel free, if it's okay with your parents, to make your way to the back. Somebody will be waiting for you back there. Praise the Lord. Well, we have a few announcements. You can look in your insert there that you have. All the things you need to know are there. We want to, somebody's, you going backwards or forward? All right, next one, brother. But we want to thank you all for being here. We want to thank you for your giving. You'll see in the bulletin every week, we want you to be informed as far as our needs and how God is providing for us. He is not limited to the offering plate, which God can meet needs in all kinds of ways, just like he's not limited to your paycheck. Amen? God can bring resources. He can rebuke the devourer in your midst. So we pray that you'll be open. Just a few announcements. We're going to pass the clipboards, but not right now. We want to remind you about JOLT. It starts here in a couple weeks, October 2nd, the first Sunday night, 3 classes. And we've got Ray Green doing a class on being kings and priests. And Nancy's doing a class on finding the will of God's life's planning. There is a book involved there. So we do need to know today if you're going to be in that class, so we order enough books, because she's ordering them tomorrow morning. And then, of course, we have the prayer class, which Steve Wong and Steve Crawford will be teaching that. So when the clipboards come around, just indicate accordingly. And if you have children, it'll be in the nursery. Also, this Saturday is our chili cook-off. And if you can make chili, even just regular chili, bring it. We will have some special prizes to give away that you'll see indicated there. Some nice prizes, actually. And so you'll want to come and enter your chili. We'll be out in the parking lot, weather permitted. Neighbors come. It's a great time to sit and talk around the table and fellowship together. Also, we have a men's overnighter coming up. Kenny's here. If you can give him that. Kenny, can you real quick take a few minutes and tell us about the men's retreat coming up? And on the clipboard, there'll be an opportunity to sign up too. Good, yeah.
I wanted to just talk about the men's retreat coming up Friday the 7th and the night of and Saturday the 8th. It's going to be kind of like we did last time. There's going to be a $10 donation. We are going to have handouts. There's going to be a cup involved for the handouts. Steve Crawford's going to give a message Friday night about vessels of honor for us guys. And then I think Jensen's going to speak Saturday morning a little bit about his journey. So I want to invite you out. Tony Christensen is going to be our chef, and this might bring everybody out because he's going to do smoked meatloaf. He's going to do meatloaf on a grill and everything, so this might be really interesting as to what our meal's going to be. I think Linda, my wife, is going to do breakfast the next morning and maybe some side dishes for the meatloaf the night before. But I want to invite you all out. Like to see a whole group. One thing I didn't say in first service is, and anybody that wants to come, I'd like to see you bring a friend, somebody that maybe doesn't go to faith community, a brother or just, you know, a coworker, and bring them out and just let them have fun. Some guys are going to stay all night. There'll be room for tents. There are some pretty good-sized fish in the pond. If the last time, a couple, two or three guys fished all night long. I don't think they slept at all. So it's just going to be a good time, good fellowship for us guys. So I just want to invite you all out. Thanks.
They fished all night, and Jesus showed up and had them cast the net on the other side, right? Is it good? Praise the Lord. Now, today we got a couple open houses. Are you going? At right after church, House of Hope. Did I say that right? Hope House. There is a House of Hope. Hope House. Dedication, and you'll want to come be a part of that. It's going to be great. And you get to hear all about the vision. It's just so exciting. And also the other open house is a ministry to the homeless. Their house is being dedicated today as well. And we're going to be participating with them a little bit in the future. We'll tell you more about that. But we also have our usual ministry making packets that we take out on the streets to the homeless. And Rachel's going to come and bring us up to date on that and tell us how we can participate in that. Bless you, dear.
I didn't prepare for holding a microphone, so sorry about that. So we're doing our care kits again, and for those of you who maybe are new since July when we did this, I'll just kind of fill you in on what those are. We have drawstring backpacks and a shopping list out back. There's a box in the foyer that has this attached to it, so take one home with you. The first time we did it, it was in the summer, so we did some summer items in there as well, a reusable water bottle. And other than that, they have deodorant, a bottle of soap, shampoo, toothbrush, toothpaste, a little hand sanitizer, a small first aid kit, a comb or a hairbrush, and a washcloth. And this time we're also collecting knit caps and gloves and socks and some hand warmers. My husband Paul and I started this. We moved to Wichita almost exactly 2 years ago. And we just noticed driving around from errand to errand and saw that there was definitely a need. There were a lot of homeless people here. And so we would finish our errand and then try and pick up a few groceries or something and bring them back. And what usually ended up happening was they were gone. And so we kept kind of wrestling with this idea, like, what can we do so that we have something on hand ready to hand them the second we see them? And I kind of looked into some other people who have done similar things and thought, well, this is awesome. This is just really easy to keep in the car and just hand to somebody. And so we did that, and I think we put together 5 of them, and they were gone within, like, 2 months. And so so we wanted to keep it going, and that's what we did this summer, and it was an awesome experience. Because he told me I had 10 minutes, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this. this is a huge, huge passion for me. But I struggle still. And this week, I was on the doubt bus. I just could not get it out of my head. And in starting a new ministry and a homeless ministry, you realize how many other people have the same heart for this and are doing bigger things, like they're giving them a place to sleep or they're giving them a meal, and it they're older and more established and have more resources, and what good are these little drawstring backpacks doing in the 5 or 10 minutes that I might interact? And I just kept having these floods of doubt that this isn't helping. And Satan does that, doesn't he? He gives you reasons not to do ministry. And how annoying is that? He tells you that you don't have the time or you don't have the resources. He makes you lazy. He makes me lazy. He closes your eyes to things. It has blown me away to talk to people here in Wichita that are just like, we have a homeless problem? And it's like you have to choose not to see it if you don't, because it's everywhere. And Satan does that. He puts those blinders up. He tells you, well, what did they do that they're in that situation? Shouldn't they be doing more? Like, surely they chose to do this. And that's the one that strikes me the hardest, because Jesus died for made-up, showered, make-upped me on Sunday mornings, just like he died for the drunk guy on the side of the road that's homeless. He loves us all the same. And that's what we're called to. So as I was challenging Satan with scripture, I remember that God did not give me a spirit of fear. And that's where all that comes from. That's where the doubt comes from. That's where the excuses comes from. It all comes from a spirit of fear. And that is not what God gave us. He gave us a spirit of love and of power. And he put this passion on my heart. And so I'm gonna show up. As Pastor Joe has said to me several times, there's 3 parts. There's my part, and there's God's part, and there's their part. And my part in this is to show up and trust that God's going to do his part. So I'm inviting all of you to show up with me. It is so much fun. It is heartbreaking. This isn't sunshine and smiles the whole time. Last time we showed up, God placed a unconscious pregnant woman in my path that as soon as we got her conscious, she said she wanted to kill herself. But we were able to call the police, and we were able to have an ambulance come, and I pray for her. I don't know if I'll ever see Mary again, but I will always remember her, and I will always pray for her. This will be, if you allow it and you show up and you let God use you, it will be a life-changing thing for you. It is incredible to see what God does. So we're going to do this again October 22nd. We'll have a time more nailed down. We would like to do it during the day as it's going to get darker sooner. Wichita is not as safe as we like to think it is. So and the areas that we're going to be in are going to be a little more dangerous. So we'd like to be done before it gets too late. We're going to pass out clipboards as it gets closer. Like I said, the date's October 22nd. And we'll pass out those clipboards, and we'll have a section for you to sign up to help assemble these bags, to put them all together. And then we'll have lunch together, and we'll have a sign up for people who want to come out and distribute with us. If you want to do both, awesome. If you just want to do one or the other, that's fine. If you just want to come and pray over us and pray over the bags, that's great too. I'm just inviting you and challenging you, show up and see what God does, because I guarantee you it's going to be awesome. So, thank you. I will be in the back if you have any questions for me. I get really excited about this, and we'll probably talk to you until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So you can also call me if that's easier for you. But I would love to talk to you guys about this and get you involved however I can. So thank you.
Amen. Put your hands together. Bless you. And we have a list where we can know what to get. Is that right, Rachel? There's a list somewhere? Okay. So when you're out shopping and stuff, you can pick them up. Of course, remember next Sunday is Risha Burnham. I think this is working. There we go. Or you can do it for me. Both services. You have one of these out, and you've been getting these. I hope you've been passing them out. And just don't throw them, sew them, give them to somebody, all right, you know what I mean? Here, take this. No, be very strategic, let God lead you in giving out these invitations. You never know, you never know. You just plant water, that's our part. God enables us, he counts us faithful, and he puts us in the ministry. Our part is faithfulness, so be praying about next Sunday. There'll probably be some visitors here with us that will be part. Gracia will be here. She's going to be here in the first service. She'll be here for a time. If you want to come for fellowship between services, you actually get to talk with Gracia a little bit there, and then she'll be in the service Sunday. We got some great pictures for Church Outside the Wall. I don't know if you've ever had this opportunity before, but Marshall last week got to baptize his granddaughters in his swimming pool Sunday afternoon. Can you baptize anywhere? Does it have to be at church? It could be anywhere, can it? And there's no greater privilege than to do something like that. And we happened to stop by because we knew it was going to happen. What a memory to create, opportunity to minister outside the walls, especially to your family. And so we praise the Lord for that. Well, we're going to continue in our series this morning. Here, babe, if you'll take this off my hands. There you go. Thank you, dear. Praise God. Well, have you been appreciating the 23rd Psalm? You say, boy, it's sure taking us a long time to get through this. It is true. I'm estimating October sometime. We will finish. I promise you that we will. But last week, we, of course, continued on in the 23rd Psalm, and we're going to do what we've done in the past. We want to recite where we've been, retrace our steps. So on the screen, you're going to see the 23rd Psalm. Benjamin's going to put it up there for us, and we're just going to say it together. All right, this is where we've been. All right, let's repeat it together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Thank you, Jesus. Last week, we celebrated the reality that our shepherd, our God, is a God who prepares. Amen? If you were here, you know what we're talking about. If you weren't here, you can get a copy of the message and connect all the dots with us. You'll have your insert today. It's kind of partially filled out because we didn't finish the message. We're going to finish it today. But we know that God has been preparing for a long time. Even before the foundations of the world, God had us in mind and had a plan. And in your handout this morning, you'll see our footprints from last week, all right? And you will remember, first off, the word prepare. The Hebrew word for prepare. It's right there in your inserts, already filled in for you, all right? That word means to set things in a row, to arrange, or to put in order, amen? That's what God, when God prepares, that's what He's doing. And He's been doing that. That's a description of our God. What does it mean? It means we have a shepherd who doesn't just shoot from the hip. It's not plan B, plan C, plan D. It's plan A. God has always had a plan. Amen? He has prepared a table before us in the presence of His enemies. We've been looking at the book that many of you have got your hands on. If you haven't, be looking for it. You can find it in many different places. Keller's book on a shepherd's look at the 23rd Psalm. And last week, we began to look at this idea of God preparing a table for us, which is a strange thought, a strange metaphor when you're thinking about sheep. But we learned from Keller that it's very appropriate because in Africa, where he was a shepherd, oftentimes there were the tablelands, the high country. It was called the mesa, which is Spanish for table. And the shepherd would prepare the mesa for the sheep. Remember, he would go well in advance, weeks in advance, and he'd be looking for good water. He'd be cleaning out the water supply. He'd be looking for good places for grazing, places to bed down his sheep. He's also looking for enemies. Some of those enemies are poisonous weeds. And Keller talked about how he and his children would go up, and it's a labor-intensive job, but on their hands and knees, they would be looking for these poisonous weeds, and they would pull them. They would pull them so that by the time the sheep got there, the weeds would be gone. How many know God's doing that for you? He's always in front of you. He's always preparing for your arrival in every situation. And we also learned about the adder snakes. Remember those? That was kind of hideous, wasn't it? The thought of snakes in the high country. And in Israel, the adder was the most concerning because the adder would be underground, and when the sheep would graze, they'd come out and bite them on the nose. And it would create great sickness and sometimes death. And so the shepherd would take oil and tar, and he would walk the mesa, and he would pour it in the holes of the adders. And so how fascinating, when the sheep would come then and graze, they had no idea what the shepherd had done for them. And as they were grazing, they didn't know that they were grazing in the presence of their enemies. The adder, he couldn't touch them. God has done that for us. And we have a shepherd today, praise the Lord, who has prepared great things for us. In fact, in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, verse 9, Paul describes the level of this participation. He says, just like the sheep, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. We, just like the sheep, don't even have a clue sometimes of what God has prepared for us. Some things we know, but a lot of things we don't. We're getting ready to go and minister to the homeless. We're making plans. We're doing things. Do you think God's made preparation for us? Do you think He's made preparation that you know nothing of? It's true. For those who believe in God, there are three perspectives of God's involvement and preparation. Some people believe that God started everything in motion, wound it up, backed off, and He's just watching it happen. He's a spectator. Some people believe that God is a micromanager and that He controls us like little robots. And He's got His little control, and He can make us do whatever He wants us to do. But there's a third perspective. It's the one I personally hold. I believe that God is present and working in our lives all the time. And He's allowing us the mystery of free will. We're not robots. We have free will to make decisions. And because our God is all-knowing, He knows the past, He knows the present, He knows the future. Because of that, He's able to use our own choices, even our wrong choices. Amen? Anybody here made wrong choices? I made wrong choices. But you know what God did? He worked anyway. Because He's all-knowing. And in the end, He brought it to His plan and His purpose. My mom said the more she prayed, the worse things got. Nothing looked like it made sense. Everything seemed contrary to hope. Does that sound familiar? Abraham, when things were contrary to hope, in hope he believed. Because he knew God had a purpose and a plan. And I'm here to encourage you today. When things seem their worst, know that God has a plan. Yes, we can make choices. Yes, we can make wrong choices. But because God is all-knowing, He is able to accomplish His plan and purposes in spite of us. And we have that shepherd taking care of us. And that's what this table is all about. That's why He's talking about the table. Now, how important is the table? How important is the table at your house? You know, a house without a table, that's kind of strange. Wouldn't that be a strange place? No kitchen table, no place to eat. Say, come to my house. Hey, a table's pretty important. I was sitting at my table this week and my mind began to wander. It's doing more of that lately. Amen. I'm just started thinking about, wow, Lord, all the meals we've had at this table, so many meals that we've shared with family and friends at this table. And I got to thinking, all the people I love the most, every last one of them have sat at my table. All the people that I love dearly have sat at my table. What got me thinking that way is I found a picture this week of my mother sitting at my table. It was her last meal with us. And somehow we took a picture and the Magnusons were there. We had a meal and then we played dominoes. And there she was, happy as a lark. And so I blew it up and put it on the refrigerator, you know, to remember our time around the table. Wonderful meals. See, you have to understand something about Connie. Connie's love language is food. I'm not consuming food as much as preparing food. She loves to prepare meals for the people she loves. I could see it in her eyes. I hear it in her voice. Yeah, it's labor intensive. Yeah, it costs a lot of money. Yeah, there's a lot of preparation. But man, her heart beats for it because she loves it. Oh, yes, come to our home. And many of you have sat around our table. And if you haven't yet, get in line. You're coming. We're going to sit at my table. I don't want you to sit in church and never sit at my table. Because the table's an important place, isn't it? I thought about, you know, Connie sometimes prepares meals for me that she knows are my favorite meals. But what's unique is that some of those meals are not her favorite. But she still prepares them. Why does she do that? Because she loves me. And I go shopping with her sometimes. And that's not my favorite thing to do. But I'll do it because I want to be with her. And I love her. I don't grumble about it. I like it. I love her. And we serve one another. It happens oftentimes around the table. You know what else happens around the table? Laughter. You ever laugh around your table? Man, we've had the kind of laughing makes your side hurt. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about a good joke. I'm talking about times where, remember this? Wasn't that great? I remember my mom was there. I wrote a little paper called You Must Have Been So Proud. And I had listed a bunch of stories in there about, oh, Mom, do you remember? Remember when we found the paint can and we didn't have a paintbrush, but we found out you could paint with a stick. And if you flipped your wrist just right, you could create a masterpiece. The only problem was we did it on the neighbor's garage. And even the police came to admire our work. I ended each story with, you must have been so proud. Amen. And we laughed. And we laughed around the table. But we've also cried around the table. We've shed a lot of tears around that table. Sharing heartaches and troubles in life and praying for each other. We've shared dreams and plans. I remember the night Faith Community came on the radar screen. We sat around the table. And we began to talk about, what about this? What if? Should we? Shouldn't we? The table. It all happened at the table. And the countless times we've joined hands together, many of you have been there and we've prayed together around the table. See, it's no wonder that over 35 times in the New Testament, Jesus found Himself reclining at somebody's table. He's a table guy. He's in the table fellowship, table evangelism. You ought to use it. You want to lead people to Jesus, invite them to your table. Break bread with them. Jesus taught us how to do it, did he not? Sharing someone's table is probably one of the most human things we do. I want you to think about it. There is no other creature that consumes its food at a table. It's just us. There's something holy about it, isn't there? There's three things that happen at a table. One is obvious. Food. We receive our nourishment at the table. Is that right? What else do we do at the table? Fellowship at the table. Is that right? Sure. We talk at the table. Conversation. We connect at the table. Nothing's worse than to sit at a table in total silence. Have you ever done that? I've seen people at a restaurant sometimes do that. Two people sitting there and they say absolutely nothing to each other. And I think, how sad. What a waste of the table. They ate their food, paid their bill, and left. The table's a place for fellowship and connection. It's also a place of celebration. Is that right? Last week was my wife's birthday. Man, going home from church, I stopped at Baskin Robbins and I got a birthday cake. Ice cream cake. I love ice cream cakes, by the way. I just love them. Oh, they're so good. I don't know who invented them, but they're awesome. Cake and ice cream together. Hey, that makes sense. And I haven't decorated in her favorite color. Everything. I couldn't wait to get home for her to see the cake. And what do? We laid it on the table. And we celebrated around the table. And you know what's so awesome about that? The table God has prepared for you today is no different. All those things are present at God's table. Last week we looked at two table settings. Do you remember? They're filled in for you already. If you weren't here, they're already in there. The first thing we found on the table that's been set here before us, something pretty awesome. I get excited. I don't know if you've ever been to a meal like this where they actually have your name on the table. Amen. That's a fancy meal, isn't it? What's that mean? That's nobody's place but yours. Somebody made a reservation for you. Somebody paid for you to have that place. And that chair is yours. Amen. God paid for this chair for you so you could sit down at the table that he prepared for you long before you were even born. God saw that table just for you. We looked at scriptures. You see them there, don't you? They're written down there for you. Remember Revelation 3:5. Your name is written in the book of life. And here's the cool part. Isn't this cool? That your name is confessed. You've confessed before the Father and before angels. Is that nothing to you? That ought to be enough to fill your tank for the week. That your name, my name, Joe Voss. The angels know my name. The Father knows my name. Now, set your politics aside, but if you were watching TV tonight and the president was speaking on the news and he ended his speech by saying, "Hey, I just want to give a shout out. I just like to give a shout out to Adam here in Wichita, Kansas. Adam, God bless you." Adam, that'd be pretty exciting, wouldn't it? The President of the United States called you by name. Wouldn't that be awesome? Your name is pretty important. That's how God knows you. He knows you. Some of you know this story, but when I was the Royals, they won last night. Hallelujah, finally. Lord, what a rough week it's been for them. But I was watching the Royals play in St. Louis, and my brother-in-law was there, and we were watching the Royals play, and Curt Stillwell was a shortstop for the Kansas City Royals. And we were watching him, and I said, "Man, that guy's a good player." He said, "Well, you know, we're related." I said, "You're related?" "Yeah, we're related." I said, "Well, how are you related?" He said, "We're cousins." I said, "Well, are you 12th cousin? What? He said, "No, we're first cousins." He said, "We play ball. I taught him everything he knows." That's what he told me. I said, "Oh, sure, you did." Yeah, we grew up together. We're like this. I said, Prove it. He said, "Okay, I will." And he called Kurt's mom, and they got together. And that week, we got a phone call. He said, "Hey, you can go to the Royals game on such and such a date. Go up to the player's window. Tell him you're with Curt Stillwell, and there'll be some tickets waiting for you and your son." I said, "Okay, I hope this is right true." So I went. Did just like he said, and Connie dropped this off, and they went shopping. That's their favorite thing. They'd rather go shopping than watch the Royals play. Can you believe that? And so we went up there, and I said, I had my son. I said, "Well, here goes nothing." I said, "I'm with Curt Stillwell." "Oh, you must be Joe and Joe." I said, yep. Out came these tickets. Second row, right behind home plate. We sat right next to the guy with the radar gun. You know, timing the pitches. And there's a lady sitting next to my son. And we're sitting there. I said, man, son, this is incredible, isn't it? Glory to God. And the Royals were kind of warming up. And pretty soon, Kurt Stillwell walked over to where we were sitting. He says, you guys like your seat? I said, oh, Kurt, they're wonderful seats. Thank you so much. He said, no problem. He said, after the game, meet me at such and so, and I'll sign a ball for your son. I said, okay, great. He walks away, and the lady sitting next to my son said, you know Kurt Stillwell? I said, we're related. We're related. Thank God you didn't ask me how, but I said, yeah, we are related. You know anybody famous? I'm going to tell you something. You know the God of the universe, and he knows your name, and he's confessed it before all the angels. In fact, as we read, he's carved your name in the palm of his hands. Is that not just the most incredible thing? And your name, your reservation, is at his table. Number two, part of the main course that's filled in there for you was what? God's unending forgiveness. Have you received it? Have you sat at the table? Have you taken a taste of it? It's awesome, isn't it? His forgiveness. We read in Romans 8, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you know there's no condemnation at this table? None. It's not there. There's only forgiveness there. Is that right? Only forgiveness. Colossians 2 said, we are adopted and all our sins are forgiven. Do you believe that? How many struggle with that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that all your sins are forgiven? We're at this table, at the table that God prepared for you. I was thinking the other day, it just hit me. Remember when the priest held Jesus up in the temple and they brought him, you know, Mary and Joseph brought him? What'd the priest say? He took Jesus in his arms and he acknowledged that Jesus was the preparation of God. He used the word that God had prepared for our salvation. And this child was his preparation. This is God's preparation for you and for me. Boy, a lot of work went into that. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from most of our unrighteousness. Is that right? Come on, can that really be true? See, what you believe will determine what you do. If you believe that to be absolutely true, then you can sit down at the table. But you know the problem is? We don't believe we can sit in that chair. We don't believe we're worthy to sit in this chair. This chair which Jesus bought for us to sit in. No, it can't be true. It can't be true. You don't understand my past. You don't understand the sins that I've committed, Pastor Joe. Listen, God's taken care of all of them. And he has prepared in advance for this day for you. So you can sit at his table. We ended last week with the prodigal son in Luke 15. We know the story well. And we know he went and lived in the pig pen. He left his dad and family. But then he came to his senses. You remember when you came to your senses? I remember when I came to my senses. I went, man. And he went back to his father, remember? And he said, Lord, Father, I'm coming as a servant, not even as your son. And the father said, no, you can't do that. You're my son. You've always been my son. We're in relationship together. You've been out of fellowship, but listen, I got news for you, son. I prepared a table. And where did he end up? They went into the banquet hall. And they went to the table. They had food. They had fellowship. And they had celebration. That's what happens at God's table. Amen? That's what happens at God's table. And that's where we are today. And that's where we come today at this table. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So what's our problem? Why is it that we can't sit at this table? It's because of those pesky enemies, isn't it? In your insert this morning, there's another word. It's the word, the Hebrew word for enemies. Interesting. This word is not an entity. It's much more than that. Three words, fill them in. The first one really surprised me. It means to cramp. To cramp. It means to be harassed or to be in trouble. These are some of the reasons why we don't sit down at the table. that God has prepared for us. Now, I looked these words up in the dictionary. Interesting, some of the definitions. Cramp. Anybody here ever had a cramp? When do they usually come? At night, right, when you're laying in bed. Oh, man, nothing like a good leg cramp, right, to wake you up and get you out of bed. Oh, cramp. Well, the definition said pain. Yeah, pain. But it said something else. It said to restrict or inhibit the development of. What in your life is bringing you pain? What in your life is restricting you or inhibiting you from development? That's an enemy in your life. What about the word harass? Interesting word. To be subject to aggressive pressure or intimidation. What's intimidating you? What's putting pressure on your life? I love this part of the definition. If you've ever been in the military, if you've ever been in battle, you understand this. It says to make repeated small-scale attacks. Where the enemy comes and they're harassing you. And they'll attack, attack. Then have you ever been attacked like that by the enemy and life itself? Or there's an attack, then they pull back, another attack, then another attack. And what? It's just to harass you. It's just to harass you. How many things do you have in your life like that? What about trouble? Interesting definition. Problems, difficulty. Cause of worry or inconvenience. Unrest. To be distressed or anxious. To blame. These enemies do not want you to sit at this table. These are the very enemies that do not want you to sit down. And you've probably prayed just like I have, haven't you? God, if you could just get rid of these enemies, I would sit down. God, how can I enjoy a meal surrounded by my enemies? It's not logical, is it? It doesn't make sense. Because if I'm surrounded by my enemies, what happens? All my attention's on them. It's hard to focus on the meal. Well, look at those. Look at that. Jesus never promised you an enemy-free life. In fact, Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble. Oh, isn't that part of the definition? In this world you're going to have enemies. You're going to have trouble. But what did he say? But be of good heart. Be of good to take heart. I've overcome the world. What's he saying? Hey, you're going to be surrounded by trouble, but I'm going to prepare you a table. I take heart. Sit down at my table. I've overcome the world. Here's God's word to us today. Listen, this is God's challenge to us today and to me and to you. It is stop being fixated on your problems and start dwelling on the table. Who needs to do that today? You're too focused on your problems. You're too focused on those enemies that surround us. They're spectators to the meal. The children of Israel, what an example they are to us, for they were so focused on their problems in the wilderness. Oh, man, what did God do for them anyway? Oh, nothing real big. He just delivered them from the armies of Pharaoh, opened up the Red Sea, and let them walk across on dry ground, and then swallowed up the enemy. How many of that'd be enough for you? That'd be enough to serve him. Right. Oh, it didn't stop there, though. Oh, there's this manna thing coming out of heaven where every day your food is provided for you. Oh, and then you got thirsty. So God said, well, just strike the rock and the water will come out. But you know what happens sometimes? Even though we have all those great blessings in our lives, we still get fixated on our problems. In Psalms 78:19, the writer says, talking about the children of Israel, he says, and they spoke against God, and they said, can God spread a table in the wilderness? Can God spread a table in the desert? What a crazy thing to say, right? What do you mean, can he do it? Sure he can do it. He's already been doing it. But their unbelief overtook them because they were so focused on their problems and on themselves. They couldn't see the table that had been prepared right in front of them. It was already there. God had done it over and over and over again. Instead, they mocked him. Anybody here guilty of that? I'm embarrassed to tell you that I have. There's times I've dishonored God because of my enemies and my troubles and my struggles. God, you've forgotten about me. And I begin to whine and complain and become critical. And yet sometimes, and that's why you're married, sometimes your spouse will help you out. Hey, baby, hasn't God always taken care of us? Look in the rearview mirror of your life. What do you see? Why now do you think God has deserted you? Oh, the heavens are brass. Listen, God has prepared a table. Maybe what we really need to do is just sit down. Just sit down at the table. This morning I want you to look at one thing God's prepared for you that's so important today. And we're going to find it here at this table. You can just fill it in here. It's God's love for us. How many believe God loves you? Yeah, here we have this. Oh, honey, would you come and light the candle for me? Gotta light the candle. She's got powers we know nothing of. Look at that. Wow. That's good, baby. Doesn't that look real? Yeah. That's from our bedroom. Marshall gave us that. It's a beautiful. It looks real. I always tease my grandkids. Grandpa has all power. What does a candle mean at the table? Anybody ever had a candlelight dinner? What kind of dinner is that? What's that? Romantic. Yeah. This ain't McDonald's. Oh, they have candlelight. And a rose. This rose. You know, it doesn't matter what country you're in. Doesn't matter what language you speak. This solitary rose means the same thing in every tongue and every land. It means I love you. Doesn't it? Doesn't matter. You could... In Germany, in Japan, everywhere. Here's a rose. What's that mean? Oh, that means you love me. God has set the table, and he's shouting at it his love, and that he wants to be intimate with us, and he wants us to enjoy his love. If you can operate the scripture back there for us, Romans 8, I've got it written down here for me. It's pretty awesome. Do you believe this before you read it? See, when you're surrounded by your enemies and your troubles, get this scripture out and read it. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, okay, we can pray and go home now, can't we? If that's true, is God for you? And if God is for you, then who can be against you? See, you have all these enemies. I had a tough week this week, let me tell you. Man, sickness was all over me, and I'm not used to being sick, and it drove me crazy. My wife says I'm not a very patient. But, this enemy came upon me, and, tried to suck away my joy. And it tried to get me up from the table, but I fought against it, and I sat back down. And I declared God's love for me, even in the midst of my enemies, even in my trouble, even in my pain. What's he say? Listen, read it. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously, give us what? Is it true? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? When the charge comes, you just sit down at the table. Boy, I got something good here. Is Al here? Al. I got some bread here with Al's jam on it. Huh. Hey there, Al. You know what Al told me? He said, whenever my jar runs dry, I just bring it back. And he fills it up again. He told me last time, he said, don't let your jar run dry. Let me fill it up before it gets empty. Do you know God's love is like that? You'll never run empty. I'm telling you, that's the best jam you'll ever taste in your life. But sometimes when you're in trouble, if you could just sit down and God loves me. Yeah, but you're sick. You're coughing your lungs out. God must not really love you. Yes, he does. He will always love me. Nothing will separate me from his love. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? Your enemies will come to condemn you. Don't listen to them. God loves you. What's he say? Who will condemn you? Answer the question. Answer. What's it say? Who will condemn me? No one. No one. There's no one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Keep reading. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Okay, here's your enemies. You ready? Here they are. There's our word. How about trouble? Anybody got any trouble today? Trouble can't do it. When trouble comes, let's take a bite. And just stare right in his face. God loves me. Don't you dare get up from that table. Because your temptation is, man, I'm in trouble. I got to get up. I got to go. Jesus said, no, sit down. Sit down, Joe. Sit down at the table. Get your eyes. Stop fixating on your problems. Fixate on my love. Shall trouble? How about hardship or persecution? How about famine? Anybody here in need today? Well, what about famine or nakedness? How about danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. What is that doing in there? Strange words. It's actually a quote from Psalms 42, verse 22. Go read the chapter. If you read it, it's kind of depressing, actually, because he's saying, you know, God, we've heard all the stories of our ancestors and how you delivered them, all the mighty things you did. But listen, it's not that way for us right now. In fact, we feel like you're selling us cheap. We feel like you're asleep, God, and you've forgotten about us. And in that breath, then they say, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered a sheep to the slaughter. Why in the world did Paul put that in this chapter? He just stuck it in there. There it is. He was saying something important to us. Because there are days in your life when you're going to feel like that. God, have you forgotten me? I sat with a mom this week who lost her 35-year-old husband. Three little boys. God, how can this be? How will I ever get through this? I understand those feelings, don't you? Do you? Is it okay to... You know, God's not mad about that. He's sad. He's not mad. He's sad. He wants us to... Would you come to the table? Because I know in this life, things are going to happen. Things happen. There are choices that are made. And there are days you're going to feel exactly like that. And that's the time when you're going to want to get up from the table and say, God doesn't love me. He couldn't love me. Or I wouldn't be in this situation. We'll keep on reading. No. No, Paul says. No. It's not true. Your enemies want you to believe it's true. It's not true. No. In all things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We are more than conquerors. You know why? You know what makes you more than a conqueror? Because somebody did it for you. God's a conqueror, so if I'm standing next to Him, that's like standing next to my big brother. I'm more than a conqueror. You know, He did it. God's fought this fight. He paid the price for me. I am convinced, He said. I am convinced that neither death nor life. Well, gee, that kind of covers everything. Everything in between, right? Can death separate me from the love of God? Sure felt that way Wednesday. Felt that way. But it can't. Life can't separate me. Because sometimes living's worse than dying, isn't it? It's harder to live than it is harder to die. He said, neither angels nor demons. Man, there's a whole host of enemies, aren't there, just surrounding our table. Neither the present nor the future, nor any powers. Wow. Neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. What's he saying? In case I left anything out, what's he trying to say? I mean, I could say this in a few words. He took many words. What's he saying? Now, say, what could separate you from the love of God? He just wanted to be sure you understood. Absolutely nothing. The worst life has. Jesus said, in this life you have trouble, but I'm going to give you peace. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Don't let your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Sit down at my table. Who will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord? No one. And so today, Tom, if you want to come, we're going to stop there. I don't know where you're at. I know my week's been kind of tough. But one thing I came away with this week was the full awareness that God loves me. At my worst, He loves me. At my best, He loves me. And everything in between. If demons can't separate me from the love of God, I got a revelation for you today. You can't even separate you from the love of God. You can't even do it. Because His love is so powerful and so strong. Amen? Amen? Father, we come today because we want to worship You. We want to honor You. Father, we want the full revelation today of Your love for us. And some of us have been through a lot. Some of us may be on the high road right now. Some of us are on the low side. Some of us may be in the middle. It doesn't matter. You have called us today to sit at this table. And Lord, some of us have visited the table. Some of us have come and gone. But You're calling us to dwell here, to stay here. It is a place You have prepared for us. Our names are on the table. You've already called us out. And now, Lord, I pray that You would give us the faith just to be able to rest here in this place. We love You, Father. We want to worship You at this table. Reveal to us. Let us embrace Your love like we never have before. It will change everything for us. Lord, there are these enemies we're just so fixated on. I pray, Father, today, Lord, we'll look away from them. And we will behold Your glory and Your beauty. What a wonderful table You have prepared for us. We love You, and You love us. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to come this morning as we leave. We're going to take the bread. We're going to dip it in the cup. This is God's preparation for us. Remember, the priest saw it when he held the baby. He saw this. And he said, oh boy, wait till you see what's coming. And God, when did He make this plan anyway? Did He just come up with it on the... No, it was from the foundations of the world. This was prepared for us. And so how can we not partake of it today? All the preparation's been made. All the preparation's been made. Won't you come and sit down? Nothing would be more offensive I'd say my wife, if she prepared this lavish meal for you and then you came and stayed 5 minutes and left, that would hurt my wife's feelings because she prepared for you. You wouldn't do that, would you? You wouldn't do that, would you? But we do it with God all the time. He's went to all this trouble. It's time to sit down. It's time to sit down. I want you just right where you are, just bow your head. Just let God minister to you. I'm not here to manipulate you. I'm not here to put pressure on you. I'm just here for you to rest in His promises and receive them in fullness. I don't want you to walk away from the table today. I want you to pull a chair up and sit down so that when you come and dip this bread today, you do it confessing, Lord, yes, I am going to sit at that table. I'm through running. I'm through fidgeting. I'm just going to sit down. I'm going to sit down. Father, would You help me? Get our eyes on You today. We love You and You love us. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, well, I've got great news for you. God's prepared the table for you and your name's been written down. When do you get saved anyway? Do you get saved after you say a prayer? Do you get saved after you walk down the aisle? When do you get saved? You get saved the moment you say yes to God. Yes to God. And He's already done the preparation. You're just saying, okay, I see it. I'm sitting down, Lord. That's the moment. And God begins to to bring you all the courses that He has prepared for you. And He's just like Brother Al. He's not going to let your jar run dry. He's going to keep bringing it. Now, you will have a lot of enemies around your table. Don't be taken back, but keep your focus where it needs to be. Amen? 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 Father, we love You. We come to this table. We dip this bread, and we say thank You, and we remember. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. I invite you to come down the center aisle and take the bread, dip it in the cup, then go back to your seat again down the side aisles before we dismiss together. God bless you as you come. Everyone is welcome. You will not be turned away. This table's been prepared for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand with me? If you're here today and you need prayer, maybe God's just calling you around the table. We want to pray with you. There's those here who I trust who will pray with you, speak words of life in you. I know they've spoken words of life into me. And I just want you to be able to receive all that God has for you. In fact, I want to just take this last bite, if you don't mind. It's not good to leave anything on the plate if you can help it. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I I just receive your love today for me. I love you. I love this church. I love those who have gathered in this place. Father, we pray for next week. It will be a special Sunday. Our hearts are going to be challenged. Lord, we're going to learn firsthand what it's like to sit at a table when surrounded by incredible pressure, life and death. And yet the table is even prepared in the wilderness. Thank you, Father. Open our eyes to see it. Don't let us be blind to it this week. In Jesus' name. And all the saints said, amen. I do want you to note in the bulletin says there's a youth meeting tonight, but there isn't. And I think the youth know that, but I just want to be sure so you don't show up. Greg and Kelly are in Wisconsin. They'll be back with us again next Sunday. We love you. Go in the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Come take advantage of the body of Christ. Let us pray for you today if you need prayer. We love you. If you have to go, go in God's love and peace. Share it. Share this table with others. Invite others to come, would you? Amen. It's too good to hide and keep it to yourself. You know, there's an old African, Keller talked, there's an old African proverb that says, there's something in the desert that's worse than murder. It's when you know where the water is and you don't tell anybody. Don't do that. You know where the water is. Tell everybody. Amen. God bless you as you go. I love you. I love you. Peace. Peace. God bless you.